Well, you have a full tank of gas, a full shopping cart, a good night's sleep, full hydration before the game. You're good to go. Life, though, takes from us. It depletes our reserves. That happens in the physical realm, but it also happens, and is true, emotionally and psychologically and spiritually. The question this morning is, what has life taken from you recently? You know, the things we sweat and the energy we expend go unnoticed kind of at the beginning. We don't really notice it, but they can accumulate. And what we have lost in the process is not instantly changed. We need to replenish. I think for our purposes this morning, focusing on the spiritual, we need to spiritually replenish and rehydrate our souls, because life has a way of taking and depleting. And this is kind of what this 40th chapter of Isaiah is all about. But if we back up a bit, we understand the context in which this was written. If you go through Isaiah chapters 1 through 39, that whole first part, it's a time of great trouble for the northern kingdom of Israel. And because of their disobedience, God had allowed them to be overtaken. The Assyrian armies had conquered the nations in the north, and also now it included Israel. So in chapter 40, the focus changes to the south, to the prophecy of the demise now of Judah by the nation of Babylon. And there was also the prophetic promise of their return from exile and the rebuilding of what was destroyed. There was future hope that would come. But if you're part of a captured people, you've been carried off into exile, not sure if you will ever return home again, if you will ever see things the way they once were, or even see your family again, it's easy to understand that they were depressed and that they cried out to God. The historical context, those who were stuck there in Babylon had lost hope. And when people think they are stuck, they lose hope. You know, you think of the context of even our day today, the pandemic, political and economic unrest, isolation can produce that experience for many people today. Because the question for all of us is, how and when will we come out of this? And what will it really be like? And we all face the temptation at times to think that God has forgotten us and doesn't care about our situation. You know, we feel stuck. And yes, the people, the Jews, were stuck, per se, in their situation. And the consequence for them was because of years and years and years for their sin and rebellion. And what had happened to them, they were confined there, stuck in Babylon. But it wasn't a permanent thing. Words of hope were given. God still remembered his covenant that he made with his people. And his love and his grace and mercy were also prophesied. And so chapters 40 through 55, 15 chapters, announce this act of God's grace and his desire to restore and renew his people. And God says, "Let me lift you up and show you something from my perspective, from up above." See, they were called to look at the Babylonian superpower from the perspective of what God did to the superpower Egypt at the Red Sea. And then they come to realize that there really is one true great superpower that's greater than them all. See, God does not forget his people. And when we think we're stuck, it's time that we look to God. It's waiting on God. There's really no other option. And so kind of we're asked that question, you know, what will we choose to do with maybe the frantic worry that's going on in our lives when we feel those times of being stuck? It's have confidence that God will come through as promised. It was years and years and years ago, I was at another church for some training to be actually a counselor at a Billy Graham crusade that was going to be held here in Anaheim. And the teacher that was leading that kind of popped off with this platitude in the middle of his talk. And I remember him saying, he said, well, if someone asks, you know, how they're doing, and their response is, well, under the circumstances. And his response is, well, what are you doing down there? That was 36 years ago. I still remember that dumb platitude, and I've never used it, but I've never forgotten it, because there's something that's actually true in that statement. What are you doing down there, under there? It's kind of the key idea behind this verse for today, which is that text for us in Isaiah 40:31, where we're called or told to wait or hope. They that wait, or they that hope on the Lord, it says they're like eagles. Like eagles in the way they fly. See, eagles don't fly like typical birds. As a matter of fact, if you were to ask an eagle, they would say, we don't fly, we soar. Eagles position themselves high on a rock or high in a tree, and they wait. And when the warmer wind comes, they are borne aloft. You know, that's a great ornithological way of saying, you know, what that process is to help them to soar. And the power comes from the wind beneath their wings. Don't worry, I'm not going to start singing that song. And they soar by using those thermal currents of air. And these warm air patterns are created by the surrounding terrain. And they spread their wings and their tail feathers and let the winds carry them up. You see, soaring saves eagles' energy because it doesn't have to flap its wings as often. And see, that's what the stories of Scripture do. That's what they're all about. We're constantly told in Scripture to look back and to remember, because they are there to create a form of spiritual wind pattern so that the warm wind may blow. And the wind blows in that message of hope in the gospel. As it says there in the text, do you not know? Have you not heard? See, the question directs us back to what God reveals about himself in Scripture. And that's where we discover who God is. And it's there he reveals himself to be Lord and Savior and Creator. He has unlimited power. And God does not grow tired. He does not grow weak. He has sufficient strength to share. And he has that strength in abundance. And the result? We are free and able to soar on wings like eagles. Not by might, not by power, but by God's Spirit that blows, that lifts us to help us see that we really aren't stuck. Because God knows all the microscopic and macroscopic details in creation. We do know the problem that sin has mangled this creation in disease and death. But see, Jesus comes along and shows us who he is in relationship to that. And he exerted his strength through his touch and through his words, curing every disease and casting out demons, as we see in the gospel lesson for today. Peter's mother-in-law was healed. The whole town brought their sick and those oppressed by demons to Jesus. And Jesus, it says, healed their various diseases. And the way Mark captures Jesus is to show his power and his unlimited power and how that he is almighty over all things. and hope for help in difficult times like those experienced by these exiles in the Old Testament lesson is to be found in waiting for the Lord. It is this gospel that permeates all things. It's the thing that makes renewal and restoration of God's people possible. See, refueling and refreshing of our spiritual bodies and souls is what God wants to do. Paul boldly preached this gospel that all would receive its generous and eternal blessings. And he did whatever he could to make that powerful gospel known to people. And it reassures again that restoration is coming. And that becomes the very power to lift us up. See, faith is a heart condition where we stretch out our wings and reach toward the Lord while the warm winds of the Spirit hold us up. When we soar, we are resting in our trust in the Lord and letting Him carry us. And the Lord teaches us through faith how to rise above the difficulties and the hindrances that come in our life. And we learn to rise enough to be able to gain again a different perspective as we trust that God knows what's going on and is bringing everything about for His good purpose and pleasure. We rely on Him. It's about abiding in Him. It says, those who wait or those who hope in the Lord shall mount up. And sometimes He wants us to wait because it's a matter of timing. And maybe because He wants to carry us so that we don't suffer burnout from flapping our wings too much. Because here's the thing for every one of us, we become tired. We can grow weary as life continues to take from us. And we can get confused, and we can be ignorant of the things that are going on around us. But with the Lord, yes, without the Lord, we will stumble. We will fall. And even the young who appear to have all the energy in the world can also get tired and weary. So to such people, God promises to give them strength. When we learn to abide in Him, we learn the secret of waiting upon Him for everything that we do. Knowing again who He is and just trusting in His way and His purpose and His plans and His timing. And our strength is renewed and replenished. If you're watching the big game today, notice how much that game is like life. You can think everything through, you make all sorts of plans, line everything up, and sometimes things seem to just click, and you've executed everything just the way you wanted, and you score. And the next time, you get sacked or injured. It's rough out there on the field. It's really rough out there on the field. Find encouragement then from your team. Listen to the coach. And through it all, it's a call to replenish and to refuel. We drink to hydrate, eat to energize. That's why Jesus said, I am the living water. I offer you the bread of life. Take and eat. Take and drink. And let the words be those winds that you need. Let the promise of His word reassure you that you really aren't stuck. And may we hope in the Lord to renew our strength. And may our faith mount up with wings as eagles so that we can walk and not be weary, and run and not faint. We just trust in who God is with us each and every day of our life. Life takes from us every single day. But let the promises of His word be the very wind currents that can come into your life to help you to find that strength in God and for what you need today, tomorrow, and through your life. And so now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.